Welcome to Critical Ditto, the Pokemon role-playing podcast that we make and that you listen to. Thanks for that. Thank you. My name is Stuart, and I am running the game, and we're at the pub today. I'm pulling pints. I've got my really sort of basic brew dog, a little pale ale here, which sort of suits me. I'm very vanilla. I run the game. I don't play any particular character. I just sort of flit in between, and that's me, a gentleman approaching the bar. What can I get for you, sir?
Hi there. I would like a pint of your finest Kenny Mullet, if that's okay. My name is Ali, but I'm feeling like I want something empathetic yet haunted, and that might have been on a quest to sort of, you know, find out more about poker powers, so then would have changed the quest to kind of, you know, save the world with those poker powers. Do you have anything on the menu like that?
Yeah, sort of notes of moral confusion.
Growing up and a bit sort of unsure of who he is and what he's doing. This one looks really good, actually.
Any bar snacks for you as well?
Yeah. Could I please have a decidueye called Bowtie?
Yep.
This is the second intro in a row that I've eaten my Pokemon. Could I please have a decidueye called Bowtie, a Gyarados called Moustache, a Honchkrow called Fedora, a Salandit called Hoops, a Galvantula called Fleek, a Kamoa called King Thrush, and a Spiritomb called Swirly? Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, and I will also buy the drink of that very attractive man down the end of the bar who has given me more than just the eye.
Oh, this never happens. This never happens.
Could you go and find out what they want? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Hi. So, very exciting. Someone's bought you a drink. It's this chap over here. What can I get for you? I mean, if you're not overcome.
Well, it's going to be difficult to form words, but I hate to be a bother, but it seems to be a very beery bar. Do you happen to have maybe a sort of bitter long drink that might contain childhood trauma and a bit of caustic religious doubt?
Do you know what? In this special fridge.
Oh, that is a real saviour. Oh, thank you so much. Because I was looking for a Theo, but I didn't know if you would do it. You know, yeah, I'm really glad to have a Theo. It's a delicious cocktail that is the current O of the Church of Slowking. And listen, I don't want to push my luck with this absolute worldie down there who just happened to buy me this can of Theo, but could I get a couple of...
I just realised they don't know how much this costs. This was like a one of the
costs. Yeah. I mean, this is...
Working on a budget.
It's a special night.
So what I'd love is a Medicham, is a Leavanny, a Barbaracle, a Slowpoke, and then you don't really have to worry about these two because they've currently, they're out, but there is a Kabuto and a Combi. If you could just get those, if you happen to have any of those left in the fridge, that would be great.
Sure. I wouldn't mention unconsciousness in the bar area, you know, going forward, but yeah, absolutely. No worries. Hang on, just keep. Oh, all right. Everyone, drinks away. The old prohibition cop is here.
What the hell are you doing? First Officer Leasley, Second Officer Hill. What the hell are you doing? This is my starship.
Sergeant Dale, did you just forget my name after 10 years of friendship? Did you actually just forget my surname?
We are trying to have a romantic role play in this bar, and you have decided to come in.
Bartender bot, powering down.
You need to get off the holodeck for this weird role play that you guys do and get back on the bridge with all the other team, like Brandy, the ex-cheerleader of Pokemon League, who we managed to pick up from Gamma Quadrant 9. Well, too bad, because guess what? She's bought friends. She's bought a Lopunny called Wimpy. She's bought a Drapion called Gary. She's bought a Munchlax called Snorleone. She's bought a Bunnelby called Dr. Bunnelby PhD. She's bought a Melmetal called Flower, and she's bought a Carcoal called Lightning McQueen. It's a complete shink show up there. So we need to stop fanning around down here on the holodeck, pretending we're in a bar when we've really got to fight the Klingons, okay? Because they are coming for us, okay?
Is this because I talked about the unconscious thing? Because I'm not used to this, basically. I'm divorced. I'm just really trying to figure out what this is again.
Stop talking about your divorce, David. We've heard it all the time.
There were no holodecks when I was single, all right? Okay? This is new. This is new to me, but fine. Klingons it is.
First Officer Hill, what happened the last time you were down in the holodeck?
Bartender powering up. Let me describe.
Great. You're not First Officer Hill, but I'll take it.
Previously on Critical Ditto.
Theo, Brandy and Kenny challenged the Elite Three to obtain the three keys to gain access to the Sephiroth Tree. Brandy reunited with the Pokemon champion Gary Smoke to mixed results as Flower the Melmetal was one-hit KO'd. Kenny was taken by surprise to realise that Margo was not in fact in Margo's roost, but Varn, the former leader of Team Helsing, who was previously beheaded by Barry Bolcutt, but now had had his head, somehow, stitched onto the body of an Ariados, and he was looking for revenge. Finally, Theo chased Tyler through the sewers of the Pokemon League, and then up into the skies. Things were looking good for Theo, until Tyler called upon the power of the legendary bird, Zapdos.
Kenny.
Hello.
We are in the Roost, Margo's Roost, in the Elite Four, and you are locked in mortal combat with not an Elite Four member, not even a Pokemon trainer, with an abomination. Ironic that Vaan once called Zorcario an abomination, because the creature that he's become is something so unnatural, so horrifying, it causes you to retch every time you glance in the vague direction of his amorphous, spider-like body.
Oh, and when he talks, oh, it's even worse. Oh, he's got this rip-roaring, spider-itic voice that tears through your skin worse than any acidic spider poison ever could. But today, Kenny, I want you to describe to me how Bowtie has clung on through five rounds of combat, clinging onto that one hit point. Give me Bowtie at their most majestic. Give me Bowtie at their most performative. Bowtie absolutely dodging everything, but just about clinging on by their feather tips. If we're cutting in here, I want Bowtie to be at their last ebb, but in their most heroic state.
Of all the insectoid Pokemon in the world, Spinarak and Ariados are probably the one thing that Kenny might be fairly familiar with how to fend off, just because of his farm upbringing, sure. Like, you know, pests on the farm, that sort of thing.
Foresty
so
stuff,
I think, yep. Yeah, exactly. And I think Kenny saw birds attacking a lot of these spiders a lot of the time growing up. So I think he's calling on what he remembers from being a kid and watching birds in amongst the crops. So there's a lot of sort of dive bombs, but just pulling out just at the last minute. X-Scissor is attempted from the jaws and the claws of this monstrous form.
Vaan! Vaan! Vaan speaks their own name now.
Yeah,
very good. X-Scissor!
But I think Bowtie's elegance is sort of showing off.
Decidueye.
In the last episode, they phantom forced their way sort of out of existence and popped up somewhere else. And I think there's a lot of that going on.
Decidueye.
All whilst trying to get off little pot shots here and there. But it's mostly been a kind of avoiding the damage so far to try to wear him out. And I think the reason why there's not been any attack is I think Kenny knows how to deal with spiders, but doesn't know anything about Vaan.
No.
Kenny knows someone who does know something about Vaan, a recent ally that they just recently had made come to terms with.
Why are you looking at me, Kenny?
I'm not looking at you, Hedgerald.
Oh.
Kenny's...
No one ever is.
Looking down his porridge bone.
Ah, shucks.
Sees the number for Barry Bowcutt.
Ooh!
Oh! And I think is going to call in a favour from Barry as to what maybe they can use to attack Vaan with some knowledge,
Kenny,
from Barry.
Oh, you're looking at my phone. Oh, you want... Oh, okay. Do you want me to call? I'll call the number and then...
No, thanks. Your book of contacts is actually all I needed, Hedgerald. You can go and sit down on the sidelines now.
Okay, brilliant.
Oh, there's a lot of spider lava over there. I would not sit it right there.
Oh, yeah, little to the left. Yeah. This is awful. Hannah, want to come sit next to me?
No, Hannah, you might be useful. You stay with me.
Okay, oh, I'll sit by myself.
Okay, it's dialing.
You've reached the voicemail of Barry Bowcutt.
Roll for picking up the phone.
Yes, I think you should roll to see if he picks up or not.
Yeah, that's fair.
What? He might be busy.
He might pick up, but you still fail, and it's a butt dial.
Yeah. What am I? I mean, I rolled a seven.
You rolled a seven.
Yeah. So,
David, what inconvenient person at the church picks up the phone for Barry Bowcutt to hold it to their ear?
And
can you play them, please?
Yes, I can. It is a church member who is afraid of modern technology, because obviously the church doesn't have Pori phones. So it's a church member who is a full, like, Luddite, like, technophobe.
That sounds like Adri.
Yeah, okay, so it's Adri.
Kenny, it picks up. The call connects.
Barry! Oh, you're not alone. Hi, Barry?
Well, I can't... No, I can't hear it. I can't hear it because you put it on Bluetooth. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Bluetooth doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's connected to your ear, so you're probably hearing whatever's happening in the call.
It's not even connected to me.
No, just gonna disconnect.
Gonna press the thing.
Beep, beep, boop, boop, boop. Does that work? Does it work? What? No, you've just opened a banking app now. What?
Oh. Applin Pay.
Can, oh, no
Barry, can you hear me? Adri, if you can hear me too, this is fine. But Barry, can you hear me?
Speaker. I can't move my arms. I'm strapped to a gurney.
Adri, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
It looks. It looks like a Whismur. Can you see the Whismur?
We cut Tom. We cut to Vaan doing what attack on Decidueye? Decidueye just getting out of the way.
Vaan is doing an electro web.
Did not know I could do that.
Oh yes,
that's come from a deep place that I wasn't sure I had.
Spicy.
Decidueye.
Don't die, Bowtie.
Right. I have to say, I wasn't expecting this call, but I can hear you.
Barry, oh my god, thank you. Right, so, we don't have much time. Just going to cut straight to the chase. Vaan, your old, boss? Friend?
He's dead. I killed him, yes.
The guy who you killed, standing in front of me, half man, half spider. Right, just go with it, Barry.
Doesn't sound like he killed him very well then, does it?
Didn't hear that, Adri. Don't have time for quippy remarks. Bowtie might die. Yeah, Barry, I need you to tell me what Vaan might be susceptible to. Because I know how to deal with spiders, that's fine, but I don't know anything about this weird, creepy man in front of me. Anything you can tell me that might help me in my battle with Vaan?
Okay, well, let's say this was now... this defines the role. Let's say this was a behind-the-substitute on Vaan. So, your questions are, Ali, is your character telling the truth? What's your character really feeling? What does your character intend to do? What does your character wish I'd do? And how could I get your character to blank? Those are your questions. You get one, because you got seven, didn't you?
How could I get your character to die?
You could reduce his hit points to zero.
Love that.
Vaan had a fear of fire, Kenny.
Vaan had a fear of fire?
Yes, he wouldn't allow braziers in any Team Helsing building. Fun fact. So we had to have electric lighting. Can you believe that?
Electric lighting. Well, in
would
the church.
Would have terrified Adri over here.
It would have done. Okay, Vaan's susceptible to fire.
Honestly, could you just leave me alone for just 5 seconds?
I'll go light a torch.
That sounds very enjoyable.
please disconnect the call. Please,
I'm going to go now, Adri.
I cannot stand. Adri, just press the red button. There is a red button. It says,
what's red? I'm colorblind, I told you.
Hello, Ablefoth. You've opened up a conference call. Yeah? Hello?
You know what? I'm going to press the red button. Boop.
Okay, Kenny, what are you doing?
Okay, I mean, it feels almost like I'm doing Bowtie a disservice, but I kind of want to use hoops.
You could roll to switch. That's technically a move.
Oh, that is a move.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
We discover in season 5.
That's a move.
Do you know what? I don't think I do want to take Bowtie out. Winning a significant battle in Margo's Roost. Kenny made a promise to Bowtie many, many episodes ago, many, many months ago, that he would help Bowtie overcome this.
Kenny, I'm so sorry. I overheard the phone call. Because of course I did. Everyone did. If you want to keep Bowtie in, that's fine. I've got a chandelier. I'll do what I can.
Oh my god. Hannah, yes!
Right?
I completely forgot to use my ally.
I'm the youthful one.
News just in, Harold has a team of 6 magmortars, but no one cares. Writing that in my journal.
That's a great idea. Use chandelier.
You do what you can, and I'll do what I can to assist, Kenny.
I'd like to print a retraction. I do not have 6 magmortars. I only have an undying enthusiasm. I didn't bring my Pokemon with me. I forgot. I left them back at base.
What? You don't have Zig?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh no.
Nope. Well, he's nope. Back doing the photocopying. Oh yeah.
Well, boy, am I glad you came along, Hedrod.
Thanks, Kenny.
Okay, so, Kenny, you do what you can, and based on your roles, we'll see whether maybe Hannah can assist.
I think I'm going to ask Decidueye for... Let's go for a wing attack. Kenny says, Bowtie, excellent dancing. Well done for avoiding it whilst we taught Adri technology.
Decidueye.
It's now time to go on the offensive. Wing attack.
Decidueye.
And Vaughn is going to come at you. Vaughn is like, I'm sick of the stolen. I'm sick of the games. I know you're scared of me. Get out of my planes. I'm rapping now. I'm freestyling. That's how it goes. My name is Vaughn and you are going to keep on your toes. If you think you're free of me, you got another thing coming. Get ready, steady, because Vaughn is up and coming. He's a new man. Spider body, legs are flinging. Going to get you. But even though you think you're winging with your flying bird, nothing coming out of wing attack. I got nothing coming back at you. Back, slack, slap, slap, back.
News just in, Formia has a new rap superstar.
Kenny says, whatever you do, do not kill this man. He's a lyrical genius. Shine was right to keep him alive.
Formia has last reason.
That was
the
amazing.
Only reason she kept him alive.
Vaughn, I'm so sorry. We can make amends. We can make friends.
Oh, I've tried spitting bars and now I'm going to spit poison. Venoshark. Okay, he's coming at you with a Venoshark. Let's see how this goes.
I brought a 14.
Whoa! Not well for you, Vaughn. Okay. Okay, Kenny, so you're going to do damage as Decidueye, but please describe it as a sort of Hannah Decidueye combo move. Decidueye stage 3?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Vaughn was a stage 4, but I think maybe... How does the Hannah assist work technologically? I think you're actually going to roll a d6 for your damage instead of a d4. Is
Huge.
That fair?
Love that.
So Vaughn is at stage 4, so that's one higher than you. So you were at 3 damage, but that's reduced to 2 because he's one higher than you. And then it's super effective, so that's 3. And then you're rolling a d6 instead of a d4.
Sure. All right, I'll roll the d6. Because of the flames. And I rolled a 5.
See, there's Hannah. There she is. Boom. Okay, so what's that? That's 8 damage. Describe 8 damage on this Vaughn beast. That's a huge chunk.
That is a big, big, big hit. I think what happens is Chandelure sends out flames onto the battlefield. And actually, for a split second, Decidueye flies straight through one of these flames. And whilst normally that would actually do quite a lot of damage to a Decidueye, because this is a sort of ally attack, it's like a kind of magical fire almost, that a Bowtie becomes wreathed in flame. So instead of grassy feathers, she has flaming feathers. Mm. As it descends down upon Vaughn and whoosh, straight into the middle of their spidery abdomen as they are hurled across, skidding along the floor.
Into some wooden perches that shatter and splinter as Vaughn skids into them, caught only by his own webbing, which contorts his spidery limbs.
Well, now I'm mad.
Oh, yeah? No more rhymes?
And you're going to be sad.
Okay, let's cut away. We're going to the Pokemon League Champion Stadium, and it is hype in here. Whatever atmosphere we conjured last time, imagine that 100 times. We're talking about full digital Formian crowd, and they are starting to pump that sound into the stadium. So the sounds of all these silos, all these bunkers around Formia, of people nervous, that energy, that horrible, anxious energy that they've been holding onto, they are finally able to channel into something, and they are getting involved in this match. They are chanting, they are cheering, and that noise is overpowering to those within the stadium. Who's in the stadium? Only the Pokemon champion, Gary Smoke, of course. Cool, poised, already defeated a Pokemon. He's there with his Tyrantrum, and he knows the way that this fight is going to go. On the other side, Brandy Flash, the pretender, the challenger, ex-cheerleader of the champion himself. And in the stands, obviously, the only people who are literally there, General Phillips, Bash, and you know what? Heron and Barnaby Timms have realised they were completely useless in the basement.
Wait, now I'm playing Brandy in the scene.
They saw Theo fly away on a Pucho, you know, and they were like, I don't think we're needed here, so should we go check out Brandy's match? Should we go watch that?
Hera got an alert on his Por iPhone being yep. like, championship battle. And he's like, wait, what? That's impossible.
What?
Oh, no, I must see. So
that's supposed to be me.
Heron's run in to discover that not only is it Brandy having a championship match, but it's Brandy with the title of Bashfalutin
on the
which
screen.
Which has just sent him into overdrive FOMO of like, no.
No! Okay, Ali, how is Barnaby Timms comforting Heron in this moment?
Barnaby Timms. Hang on. Let me just channel my inner Barnaby Timms.
I can't believe this. This was supposed to be me, Barnaby. This was my destiny.
I know about failure, my good friend. You see, I am part of the cultural elite. And what good was it when we went to war? Nothing. So what purpose do I serve in this world? Nothing.
Barnaby, it's me, Brandy. Just to say, don't be so hard on yourself. We all love you. I actually really think you're a great guy. So, don't do yourself down.
Hi, thank you for saying that to me. I think maybe be somewhat hard on yourself. Just a little bit hard on yourself. Just a feeling I've got generally from a little bit of interaction with you.
Bash, you failed to fire him. Don't try and claw that back now.
The thing that really cheers me up when I'm feeling down is remembering how wealthy I am. So here, Heron, take some per diem points.
Great, good, fantastic. I was also wealthy, and that did nothing for me. This is going to be
yes,
a hellish afternoon.
Yes, but now you're more wealthy, and as we all know, there's nothing the rich love more than being even more wealthy.
It's me, Dan Nouncer, and I'm just going to note on the sidelines that it looks two rich dandies are throwing money at each other. Very confusing.
Barney, I'm so sad. Just take my money. Take my money.
Oh, money fight.
This isn't as much fun when it isn't girls in bikinis doing it.
Barnaby, nobody said you could use coins.
Gary, the days of bikini girls are gone. It's now rich people throwing money at each other. These are my cheerleaders. As much as I hate to admit it, they're on my team.
Well.
Snorleone, do you want to do a rock smash? Might as well. Rock smash!
Okay. Tyrantrum is going to come in with a rock head on Snorleone, and you're going for a rock smash. Can you smash the rocky head before it connects with your soft, doughy body, Snorleone? Let's find out. Plus physical attack. There's a very real chance. So just to clarify, because this is the only official Pokemon League battle we have in this little triumvirate.
That we've had in the podcast.
since Kaiten, probably. I sort of feel like, who have you got left, Brandy? Just so I know, you've got Snorleone.
Snorleone, Dr. Bunnelby.
Is Dr. Bunnelby a combatant? Or is that merely a sort of therapy
nearly,
Pokemon?
It's merely a sort of, again, vibes. And then okay. Drapion and...
So Drapion, Snorleone.
Lopunny.
And Wimpy? That's it, so you've got three. So, okay. Yeah. Let's call it fair, and we'll say the final Champions League match is a 3-on-3. So,
okay, but I've already used Melmetal.
Yeah, obviously.
Right, so you're taking away one of the Pokemon that I have.
Oh,
right. Okay. No, that makes sense.
No,
Look
you're right.
You.
You're right. Oh, gosh. Okay, Gary. Wow, I think Gary should have four Pokemon. Should be a 4v4. So we know Gary's got Tyrantrum, Espeon, and Lucario, and a mystery fourth Pokemon that we haven't seen. And
Articuno.
You're one down.
I look forward to seeing Articuno.
There's a very real chance that Brandy could lose this. There's a very, very real possibility.
Well, Stu, maybe not, because Snorleone just rolled a 3 and a 6 for a 9 plus a 2 for physical attack, I think.
Hold on, Snorleone.
So it's an 11. Snorleone, I'm not going to lie, bud. I need you to be rolling 10s the whole match.
Give me a really sexy munch to just challenge into this damage calc. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay. Brandy, what stage is Munchlax at? Bearing in mind that this Tyrantrum is stage 4.
Well, that's lucky because Munchlax is at stage 5, so move along.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
No, Munchlax is at, I'm going to say 3, because
Eviolite, unevolved. Yeah, like, it could have been a Snorlax if you won, but... I feel like Munchlax is safe where he is. Okay, so you are at stage 3. We're going to minus 1 because that Tyrantrum is above it, just like Vaughn was. So that's 2. Plus, it is super effective. So that's 3 plus
back
a D4. Three. So 3 plus a D4. This could be big. This could be big. Let me get the calc.
It's a 2 on the D4.
So what is that? That's 5.
Five damage.
I don't think that's going to be enough to take out Tyrantrum.
I think it might be Glass Cannon Tyrantrum.
Let's have a look. Could be.
What are the EVs?
Could be. Brandy, what if I told you it has a calm capacity of 6?
What if I told you that I obviously got the number wrong and it's actually a 3? Would that be believable at this point?
Well, I mean, listen, mate, you could give me another fail.
I'm happy to take him down to 1.
Okay, so Tom, please describe this attack. In fact, not just describe the attack, describe to me
What memory from Snorleone's crime past does he draw upon to unleash this fearsome rock smash?
Snorleone feels like there's chaos in the room. Oh. Barnaby, Timms and Hedrold having a money fight. Bash and General Phillips arguing about how Bash couldn't fire Barnaby before. Dan Nouncer sort of commenting on the sidelines. Gary complaining that there are no girls in bikinis. And Munchlax just feels that sort of disrespect. I think firstly he takes out a violin and he just plays a Godfather-like theme. And then the crowd are like, whoa, what's this? And suddenly there's like a real quiet in the stadium. And everyone's just staring at Munchlax. And then Gary sends in Tyrantrum for a rock head. And then Munchlax calmly puts the... because obviously he's got a violin case because he's a gangster. Normally it's full of money, but this has actually got a violin in it. He's got two violin cases. Okay.
Takes out a second violin case and pulls out a gun.
Yes. he calmly puts away the violin and then rolls up his smoking jacket sleeves and just full head on just punches Tyrantrum's rock head, and there's like this shockwave that goes out from these two now still beings in the centre of the arena, and the people feel it digitally almost through their television
sets,
their poriphones. They're like, whoa, it sort of cuts out some static as they feel the signal being interrupted, and Tyrantrum gets knocked straight back.
Can I just say, before he even moves, there's that moment of stillness, and then there's just eight cracks appear in his head, like... And then just flies back after that.
Flies back, but just about its one claw clings on to stay in bounds and roars with a mighty roar. And Munchlax is a bit like, oh, dang, I thought that was going to be enough.
Can Munchlax have a ring that people would kiss that just says like MB on it? And then when you look closely at the Tyrantrum, it's just got MB like on its forehead.
Oh, yes, that's so sick. I wish he'd knocked him out, but he hasn't. He hasn't. And Gary says,
I bet you thought that was going to knock him out. Not so, Brendy. My Pokemon aren't so weak. Tyrantrum, get him again. Crunch.
And the Tyrantrum has clawed itself back and is leapt, and it's already in the air, and those jaws are descending down on Munchlax the Solione. Your response time is milliseconds, Brandy. What do you do?
Brandy goes in and wants to hit first because can see that Tyrantrum's, you know, really struggling. We're going to get him this time. Munchlax, sucker punch. And then is going in for a quick, just trying to jab in quickly. Yep. Not nearly as hard, but just before. All right. Oh, my God. It's a 3 and a 5 plus a 2, so it's a 10.
Oh,
my
clutch.
Freaking word.
Munchlax! Did you freak out when you saw the 3?
I really did.
Okay, rather than describe the attack in great detail, we'll see the attack, Tom, but what chant does Heron start from the stands?
Heron, desperate for Brandy not to win this, so he could be champion, starts a very, very poor Gary Smoke chant. And starts
smoky like
smoke the dinosaur man. Smoke the dinosaur man. Smokes the dinosaur. And then just, it's just this gripping silence, and Brandy just gives him the stare of evil.
And what infinitely better chant, David, does Bashfalutin come up with that drowns out Heron's awful, awful Gary Smoke chant?
Brandy, the dinosaur girl. Brandy's the dinosaur girl.
I can't beat it. Brandy's the dinosaur girl. That's it.
What started as a heinous, weak chant from Heron gets co-opted by Bashfalutin, who belts out with a strength and a conviction that you'd never expect from the girl who couldn't even public speak a couple of months ago. This counterpoint, Brandy, the dinosaur girl, and she belts it with such strength that the others in the stadium start to join in. First, General Phillips. Brandy, the dinosaur girl. Then Barnaby Timms.
Brandy, the dinosaur gal. Oh, girl.
Then Dan Nouncer picks up on it.
Brandy, the dinosaur girl.
And slowly but surely, everyone in these bunkers all across Formia gets the vibe.
Brandy, the dinosaur girl.
Brandy,
the dinosaur girl.
Brandy, the dinosaur girl. Heron going like, stop it, it's my chant. You're getting it wrong. Stop getting my chant wrong.
Heron, eventually, the sea, the vibes is just too much. And Heron bows his head, grits his teeth, clings his fingers into his shorts, lifts his head.
Brandy, the dinosaur girl! You can do it, Brandy! If not for me, if not for Besh, do it for you! Just win! Win!
And Brandy, you look around and you have cheerleaders.
You have a stadium full of cheerleaders.
And I think she wells up fully, but she knows she's got a clenches a fist, and Snorley only picks up on this and just delivers an absolutely devastating sucker punch to the Tyrantrum. That again, it's almost where the other one had such impact, this one looks like it's not even touched Tyrantrum. Snorley only's just in a blink of an eye just bopped the Tyrantrum just for the last remaining hit point.
We don't need to calculate because Tyrantrum only has one harm capacity remaining. So as he's crunching down, that bop is enough to shatter the carapace on his Tyrantrum head, and that rocky frill descends as he crumples and crashes into the Pokemon League stadium floor beneath it, cracking the floor in its place. And Gary reluctantly returns Tyrantrum.
And Brandy roars like a dinosaur, like, come on!
And the stadium erupts.
Who's that Pokemon?
Milan!
Welcome to the Sky Arts Commissioning Panel. Apparently you've come with some ideas for what we should do. You there, you in the sombrero.
Hello, hola. Before I delve into...
This is going to be cut.
Si.
So, who you next?
Si.
Wearing the top hat.
Yes, it's me, Gert Willington. Hello. Thank you for seeing me again after so many years. You know what happened last time, don't you?
I do remember what happened last time, and it was very culturally insensitive. And what about you there, lurking in the corner in the shadows? What, are you going to suggest something, or are you here just to do something else?
Oh, it's salad.
Hello. I've emerged out of the main plot and I've appeared in the side story.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, wait, you're from a podcast.
I don't have a dark gym and I don't own a Zoroark, but I'm here having a plot line.
I say, they seem to be clutching something. This salad person seems to be clutching something like a... What is it on that? A scroll, parchment. What is that?
Well, would you like me to unfurl my lovely parchment?
No.
Not at all.
Yes, absolutely.
Well then, let's see what's contained within my unfurling papers.
Welcome to the midsection, everyone. This midsection is from Anthony Stanley. Thanks very much, Anthony Stanley, who is from Texas, or Sun and Cards on the Discord.
Tom, just do a Texas accent. Just please.
It's me, Anthony Stanley. Huge fan of the podcast, and I've had an idea for a gym leader, if you have the time. Her name is Giselle.
Is his gym leader Clay from Generation 5? Is that his gym leader?
A former prima ballerina from famous performances such as Swanna Lake and the Chestnut Cracker. Anthony, I tell you what, you get us. She tends to a dance studio that doubles as a theatre and gym arena. Her Pokemon consists of a Ducklet or Swanna, Blissey, Primarina, Lilligant, Serena, and Curlia. In her off hours, she teaches Pokemon and people dance and directs local productions for her town, which I'm sure you guys can come up with the name. The only other thing I had an idea for was the name of the badge, which I was thinking of calling the Elegant Badge. Keep up the amazing work. Anthony Stanley from Texas. Well, Anthony, if you're still listening after that accent, congratulations to you. There we go. So we've got Giselle, the ballerina, former prima ballerina.
Primarina.
Now gym leader.
A former Primarina? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Whoa. She was Pokepad, got turned into a Primarina, and has come back.
Yeah.
She's the only person in Formia who has come back from being turned into a Pokemon. Good Lord, Giselle.
Well, that's not at all what the listener said, but I like it. Let's go down this road.
What if, okay, maybe she wasn't a Pokepad. Maybe she was one of those people from the core. maybe she, like King Thrush, stayed down there too long, became a human, and got out. She's the only person who's ever escaped from the core, from the deep depths of the core. Carries a bit of the crystal, a bit of the meteorite around with her to keep her in this human form.
Right, that was exactly what I was going to say, Stu. How has she remained human?
It's part of her dancing outfit. She's still from Swanna Lake. There's still a tiara that she wears.
I was going to say it's a crystal tiara.
From the production of Swanna Lake. And everyone's like, oh, that's cute. She keeps that prop around. But they don't know that actually part of the meteorite is encrusted in the front of the tiara to keep her in this elegant dancing form. Because she knows that if she returns to her pre-marina form, she will be old and haggard and won't be able to dance. But if she's human, she can maintain lithe.
What's fascinating about this as well, Primarina, I wouldn't say famous for its dance, more for its voice, and yet she is a ballet dancer.
Well, Formian Primarina is famously bipedal. So,
oh, of course. Sorry.
Formian Primarina has 12 legs. It's not pretty intense.
Mer-centipede.
Yeah. Ursula took one look and was like, no, I ain't dealing with that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Keep the dance talent.
That's a poor, unfortunate soul if ever I saw one. Does this mean that this Prima Donna's team would have been other Pokemon from the meteor, but have removed their crystals, or have they just caught this team of dancers?
Ooh, that's
since?
Fun. Maybe they all left together, but because Giselle had the crown on, maybe Giselle doesn't know that that's what's keeping her as a human, and all her friends turned back into the Pokemon that they once were.
How
so
tragic.
In order to kind of keep doing what she knew they wanted to do, which is a love of theatre and dance, was to open a gym and then be on her Pokemon team.
What were her Pokemon again?
She's got a Swanna or Ducklet. Swanna. We're in Endgame. It's a Swanna.
Because we're obviously going to interact with this person.
Oh, yeah. Swanna, Blissey, Lilligant, Serena, and Curlia.
God, that was probably the core.
Serena, whatever.
Serena?
However you say it. It's the
Serena.
Come on, you grass, Serena? Green long hair, not Gardevoir.
Oh, Tsarina.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. Was Tsarina that far off? Oh, Tsarina. You sound... God.
No.
Well, like, if we're talking about Russian leaders, we don't talk about the Sir of Russia.
Wingardium Leviosa, gentlemen. Oh, I'll tell you what.
Do you remember that famous Gen 1 gym leader, Sabrina? Yeah.
Yeah, but if you'd have said Sabrina, I would have probably made the connection and gone, he means Sabrina, got it.
The question then is, I think, did King Thrush have a relationship with Giselle? Because obviously the King Thrush we met was so despondent, so unable to make decisions. Were they a partnership? Perhaps King Thrush lost his right-hand advisor, his love? Who knows?
Maybe.
Alan? Yeah. You know King Thrush better than anyone, right?
Of course, all the scenes Kenny's had with King Thrush since they've had them.
Well, the one you've had, all he could say was, come on. So...
Yeah, that's I quite liked that. They'd make an imposing pair, you know, a Primarina and a Kamoa. What type coverage, am I right?
And that would explain why then the wild area fell into such confusion with the loss of one of their pillars of the community.
But then why would she have escaped without... Maybe they split up?
King Thrush cheated on her with Mr. Robinson.
Oh, my God.
What was his name?
Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Thompson. Yes. How dare you twig say that about my Pokemon?
They had a love nest in LG.
Never.
I'm imagining a nice future scene where Kenny's released all his Pokemon and King Thrush goes to Giselle's gym.
Sorry, Tom.
And they meet.
I'm going to stop you right there because these are now indebted slaves to Kenny.
Yeah, of course. But when they're in their dream world, he wanders onto the empty stage with Giselle, and the like crystal from the crown brings him back into his human form, and they share a kiss, you know, on a beautiful stage and dance together before he, you know, goes back to his indentured servitude. To his master, all-powerful god, who can teleport him back into his shackles.
Free will is a lie. Free will is a lie.
And on that upbeat note, thank you so much, Anthony, for sending that in. If you
good
too,
thing, good thing we told them what town they were in. Like they clearly wanted us.
Oh,
to
Oh, they're
do.
From Town Town. It's called Town.
Next to Big Town.
If you,
Town,
if
Town.
You submit a character to this and you think the most detail we're going to give you is the name of the town they're from, you haven't listened to the last 90 episodes.
But if you too had a character, do send it to criticalditto@gmail.com. So Salad, that was your idea. It was.
I just wanted us to name the town.
And without the idea and name for a town, you're rejected. I'm going with Mr. Sombrero. And we're going with his idea of shaking his maracas like it's 1973.
For 63 minutes.
Ay, caramba.
Who's that Pokemon?
Vaughn!
Ooh, it's Vaughn.
Meanwhile, in the skies above Formia, a thunderstorm is brewing above the Pokemon League's main stadium, above Margo's Roost, where we visited previously. And this is no natural thunderstorm, Theo, and you know that because you're within its hottest cumulonimbus. You're there, face to face with a legendary beast, a bird of yellow wing and frightening visage, casting its lightning bolts. Just intimidating at the moment, but enough to flash just past you and the Pooch Hyena, dazzling you. As you hover motionless in place, Theo, I don't imagine you flinch. I don't imagine you dodge as these lightning bolts just zip past you from cloud to cloud.
Stay alive now, mate. Stay alive.
Connecting like a Tesla coil. And Tyler just stares you down. Do you really want to do this?
Oh, Tyler. If this was the first legendary bird I defeated, maybe I wouldn't.
What's your first volley, Thea?
My first volley.
Sounds like a start of a monologue.
I remember the day. It was a hot June 4th.
Spotlight in the Royal Court. I was in between the butter and the cigarette section of my local corner shop when I suddenly realised what my first volley would be in a battle with a Zapdos. I'd never thought about it before this moment, you see. But at this exact moment, I realised what my first volley would be if I was fighting a Zapdos. I always thought if I was a Pokemon, I'd be a Dugtrio, but I realised that was meaningless in an aerial fight. That's So Theo's first volley is actually probably the most conventional first volley Theo can do. And Theo is going to just try Pokemon v Pokemon. Theo is going to send out an old fave, a regular, a bro. Bro Baracle is going to try and take on Zapdos.
Okay.
And then immediately plummets to their death because they can't fly.
How is Bro Baracle navigating this particular battle arena?
If we are above the roost, then I think Theo sends out Barbaracle's Pokeball, and Barbaracle is sort of Spider-Manning on top of the roost spire, like on the roof.
So part of the spire is ascending through this cloud.
Yes.
King Kong-esque, Bro Baracle is clinging with his arms onto this as the Zapdos circles.
I wonder if the top of the roost is like that big spire thing, and that's where the extreme ball signal comes from. This like sort of glowing ball of energy at the top.
What's Bro Baracle doing on this spire?
Barbaracle's going to go in for a rock throw, just to, like ripping pieces out of that roost's roof.
And just lobbing them. Okay, roll plus physical, please, against the Zapdos.
Barbaracle is a 3 in physical, so we're in a good place.
We've got a six.
We've got a six.
Six total.
It's a 1 and a 2 plus a 3.
No, a 6 total.
Oh, no. David.
Hey, guys, so that's it for the night. We're going to log off. We're going to try again tomorrow. Reset the dice. And
great
we are going to try
time,
again.
Guys.
Okay, let's work out how Zapdos kills Barbaracle then. Okay, Zapdos, stage 4, as we've kind of established for this episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's fair. Kenny, Theo, fight 1, stage 4. Brandy fights 4 of them.
It's nice to know that Vaughn, a spider human, is also on the level with the legendary bird Zapdos. Like, what a coup for Vaughn.
I'm doubling harm capacity here, so at least Zapdos gets something. Okay, stage 4. I assume Barbaracle is stage 3?
Is stage 3, yeah.
Okay, so stage 4, and it is 1 higher, so that's 5. And it is super effective because it's a Thunderbolt, so that's 6 plus a D4.
That's a legendary bird, so it's rolling a D8.
I'm just gonna confirm here. Barbaracle's down. Barbaracle has the half capacity of 6.
Oh no! Okay.
6 base.
Oh. So this is a godlike being, this Zapdos. And Theo, you see its full power for the first time. And perhaps maybe you were wrong to dodge those Thunderbolts, because this Zapdos dodges past those Barbaracle rock throws like they are gnats that it's simply avoiding in a mud day swamp, and it dives in and actually confronts Barbaracle face to face. And it's like, I don't need to be far away from you. I can be right up close, and you still can't lay a finger on me. A gross, binnacled finger. And it zaps. It doesn't even fire the Thunderbolt. It actually jabs
those lightning wings into the rocky ribcage of Barbarical. And fires pulses from its very body into Barbarical, releases, and Theo, you just see Barbarical tumble into the roost. Kenny, at some point during your battle with Varn, a Barbarical just crashes through the roof.
Exactly that moment.
Theo, you see your precious Barbarical descend through a roof, and Tyler, in this moment, this momentary hiatus where Zapdos has just defeated one of your Pokemon in a single blow, a single bro. Listen, Theo, he's a bit far away, isn't he? He's on a glider. Okay, imagine I'm further away than I am. We really don't have to do this, you know. I can see you're like me. I saw it that first day on the beach. You're a person just like me. You get things done, and you don't matter how it happens. Doesn't matter if you're going to use an extreme ball to capture my Elekid, despite the fact that supposedly you disapprove of extreme balls. That tells me all I need to know about you. You get it done, and I get that. Because that's me. I knew there was a reason I connected with you. Listen, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to fix the extreme balls, and I'm going to get the right deal for Formia, okay? We don't have to do this.
The only way you can stop me doing this is if you give me the key to the Sephiroth tree.
I can't do that. I think you know why, because I think you feel the same.
No, Tyler, I don't know why. Because everybody who's ever told me that they don't know why, I defeat. Because I believe in something more important than just doing what is the easiest, most logical decision. Because I realized that a long time ago. Sometimes you have to do what's right.
No. I don't think you truly believe that. You know, Frey, for all her wrongs, she did help me see the truth about myself. And I thank her for that. Because I was telling myself, just like you're telling yourself, you're doing it for the good of the region. And I don't think that's really true. I'm doing it because I want to matter. I want people to recognize me. I want them to see me as a hero, as a savior. Freya's helped me see the truth. I can say that. I can say that to you because I think you feel the same, don't you? You want to be recognized. You want to be noticed. You want to be the greatest scholar the world's ever seen, right? That's what really matters to you.
Thank her. I thought you were the last line of defense against her. Regardless of whether you were evil or not, I thought you were at least opposed to Frey.
I am opposed to Frey, but I'm also free enough to admit the truth about myself, and I don't think you are yet.
If you are enabling and abetting evil, then you are no better than the evil that caused it. I don't need to prove to anybody I'm the best scholar in the world. I'm the O of the Church of Slowking, and I did that with my own skill. I won the Slowking jewels, I protected my friends, I fought a god, and I won. So why don't you see just how good I can be? And at this, Theo brandishes the Zygarde cube.
Oh, yes! Snap.
Okay. David, please roll a flat 2d6.
Roll for Zygarde.
Oh, guys. It's a 6 and a 5 for an 11.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Barbarical walked so Zygarde could run.
That's fair. That's
ironically
fair.
Ironically, David, you actually needed to roll low this time.
Yeah. You just roll for how many pieces Zygarde's in.
Yeah. I was going to say, fail, you get a Zygarde little spawn. Half,
little worm.
You get the dog. Full, you get the beast. You've got the full Zygarde. So, actually, wait, no, wait. So, yeah, fail, dog, mid, dragon form, you get whatever was actually in the core.
You get the automaton.
100% complete, yeah.
Exactly, Zygarde 100%. Congratulations, well done. Describe Zygarde complete forming in the skies above the Pokemon League.
At first, Tyler thinks that he's seeing the sort of meteoric pebbles that Barbarical was throwing from the rooftop, sort of almost in rewind, are coming back up into the air. And he's like, that's weird. Is Barbarical not fainted? But it's not. It's the many fragments of Zygarde of anywhere and everywhere in the air of Formia coming together around this cube and forming into this massive kaiju-sized floating mecha of a creature.
And it just appears there behind you, Theo, this vast automaton beast behind the Poochyena hovering still. Pooch, what a day! Okay, and what is Zygarde doing as they form?
So Theo is so smug at this moment in time that it works. Like, this was a gambit. Tyler, I know that you know that ground is a great defense against electric, but it can't really do much against a flying god like Zapdos. But I have a feeling that my Zygarde might just know a stone edge.
Oh, yes.
Boom.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Zygarde turns to Theo.
I don't know anyone.
Okay, so please roll plus three for your physical attack.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, you lose the Togekiss and you just... just there we go.
Just hopping up. I thought you'd beaten me.
Theo, Theo's god Pokemon.
God.
So yes and podcast you.
Yes, and I'm sad.
It's a... Oh, that was a close one. It's a one and a five plus a three, so it's a mixed success.
Oh, at least I do some damage. Okay, okay, let's try and chink the armor of this vast titan.
I assume Zapdos is using Thunderbolt against you, am I right? Wink?
No, he's going to use...
I tried, David.
Yeah, he takes off the mask. It was Articuno all along!
I do get to fight all three!
Obviously, stage four. Is Zygarde stage four? Yeah, I think so.
Zygarde's got to be stage four.
Yeah, it's a beast. It's a beast. So both stage four, so both doing base damage of four, no plus or minuses there. Stone Edge is super effective against the electric flying type Zapdos. I guess it's going to go for a drill peck.
Looking for Focus Blast in that lineup, are we?
You're doing super effective, so you're doing five plus D4, and I'm doing four plus D4. Let's roll our D4s.
I got a two.
So you are doing seven. And I'm doing four. So I'm doing eight. So eight damage. Gosh, I nearly took you out. Good lord. Mm. Okay, so Zygarde is down to two HP. And Zapdos, you did how much?
Zapdos seven. Is down to 34 HP.
Zapdos is down to five harm capacity.
Blimey.
Oh, it's tight. It is tight here. David, describe this stone edge connecting, but also this drill peck piercing the chest carapace of your mighty kaiju.
Zygarde effectively just lifts the roof off of the roost. Like, the entire thing just sort of turns into a absolute meteor shower. You know, like, it's a full asteroid belt just pelting at Zapdos. But in exchange, in this, Zapdos is darting and weaving, and as before, like, Zapdos is very good at getting close, even in these sort of, like, vast melee attacks. And Zapdos is able to get that drill peck right through the third eye on Zygarde's head.
Ooh.
Like, it just, like, goes right in and pulls back out.
And Tyler, after this exchange, the dust settling, clinging to his goblin glider, the rocks still flurrying in the air, the lightning still zapping in the clouds around them, shouts over to you again, "You're strong, but you're not invincible. Why fight Frey? Just admit she can't be stopped. You have nothing more to gain. Just admit we're two self-interested people and we can work out how best we can benefit from the new world. Me as the Pokemon League, you as the Church. Just admit it."
Tyler, if I wanted to just defeat Frey, I would have just taken the tomes and walked when I could in the core, but I didn't. I stayed and I believed in a greater good, because I believe if you give me the key to access the tree, if you let me go to the King's Rock using all the knowledge that I have, if you can give me that, then I have something way more powerful than your cowardice and your fear. I have faith.
Okay, I think we cut back to Brandy. So, Snorleone is there. Has Snorleone taken any damage?
No.
No. So Snorleone, completely untouched. Ali, who does Gary Smoke send out next in his roster?
Remind me of them. We had Tyrantrum, Espeon, Lucario.
And question mark. I feel like Lucario is the obvious pick, but I'm leaving it up to you, Ali.
Surely he's the closer, just for the narrative, Stu. For the narrative.
Unless there's something to this fourth mystery one. But yeah.
I think there is. I think Gary goes, "Huh, a normal type, huh? All right, go Gengar."
Oh, what? Wait, this is fair? Where did this... Wait.
Gengar.
Like from Agatha's stick, it creeps out of Gary's Pokeball. It's in a Duskball, because Gary would obviously have it assigned.
No, basically the Pokeball is in the shape of a little a vape for Gary, who just breathes it in and then blows out, and the Gengar comes out in smoke form.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It's creepy.
It's a vape ball.
And it vaporizes in front of Snorleone and almost taunts Snorleone, like, try to rock smash me.
You can. That's right.
Brandy, you grit your teeth, but no, this is another obstacle that you've got to overcome if you're going to win this fight, if you're going to claim this destiny. How are you going to respond to the Gengar, who's going to come at you with a sludge bomb? It's readying it in their Gengari gargly mouth.
I think Brandy is going to use one of her trainer moves. That's right, folks. Hold on to your hats.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
We are coming up with all the battle mechanics today.
Mainly because I think Brandy, she's going to use the move Ghosts of Champions Past, if you recall this.
Vaguely. You might have to remind me. Is this where you get out sword and shield as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Does everyone have one of those?
That's my one. Yeah.
No, Brandy gets out Spirit, Scarlet and Violet.
That's so dumb, Ali.
So stupid. Ghosts of Champions Past. You have a narrative connection to a previous Pokemon champion. When you encounter a situation or Pokemon you've not seen before, you can draw on that connection to remember how the previous champion dealt with the event.
This is perfect.
Roll
this is so
plus
perfect.
Job. But what I think is that Brandy was around when Gary caught the, let's say, the Haunter that this was, and is trying to remember how Gary defeated Haunter back then. So I'm rolling plus sharp. Brandy is plus 2 in sharp. She's a smart cookie.
Really? me and David are like...
That surprises me.
What? Yeah, she's super smart. What are you talking about?
She's wise, if not intelligent.
Okay, well, she's hopefully a 2, because I rolled a 4 and a 1 for a 5. So
she's a 2, mate. She's a 2. Definitely a 2.
I think it's a 2.
Yeah.
She's definitely a 2. I plussed up my sharp. So on a mixed success is quite interesting. On a 7 to 9, you remember most of what happened and take plus 1 forward. However, you're missing a vital piece of information. I don't know how you're going to deal with that, Stu. I mechanically still get a plus 1 according to this move.
Well, what is this memory? What are you remembering?
I think if we flash back to a time when Gary was on the Pokemon trail.
Okay, yeah. I'm on the Pokemon trail.
We're up for badge 3. We're up for the round badge.
Everybody wants to be a master. Everybody wants to show their skill.
Gary,
Pokemon Johto.
Oh, sorry, wrong Johto.
Yeah. Oh, God. I got to go to Johto one day. I would tear that place up.
Gary,
oh,
we've not even...
Those kimono girls.
We've not even... Well, rude. I'm right here, Gary. Gary?
Oh, hey. Yeah. Sorry, Brandy. I was just listening to my tracks on my headphones, you know, just... I'm going to keep them on while you talk, but I think I can probably get the gist
if
I lip
read. It's weird when it's just us two and Candy.
Candy, you're right in the back.
I am so good. You are overspending on vapes and beer, but that's okay with me because I haven't grown up yet.
That's so rad. Thank you. Thank you, Candy. You keep an eye on that. In fact, you just tell me how much I overspend when I'm feeling low, and that will just give me a little boost, you know? I live beyond my means.
Gary, can you hear that? Oh,
hey,
my God, it sounds like something
Gary,
bad.
Gary, look.
What is
and
that?
You look, and we see, like, this little tower with smoke sort of pouring out of it.
That's a spooky tower. There's a spooky tower over there. Candy, check it out. Look at that spook tower.
Gary, someone's screaming. We've got to pull over.
I mean, we could, but, like, that third badge, though, that is calling, and we got a schedule to keep, haven't we, Candy? You know? I mean, if we stop anywhere, I'm just going to buy more vapes. So, I mean,
we do,
Candy.
But I've just Googled Haunted Tower, and apparently it's filled with vapes and beer.
Nice, Candy. Yeah, come on, Gary. Part of being a Pokemon champion isn't about getting the badges. It's also about doing stuff like this. Taking on...
Brandy,
helping people.
On the not badges, eh?
No, he's gonna do it.
Gary, you'd look super cool. You would look so... It would be so good for your TikTok followers, man.
It's the right thing to do, Gary.
I'm live streaming.
You know what, Brandy? If you're so keen, so set on being a hero, go helping someone in a tower, spooky tower, you know, why don't you go in there? I'm the Pokemon trainer. I'm the one who gets the badges. And you, cheerleader, maybe you can go save someone. How about that?
Fine. Maybe I will. What about that, Gary? Me with no Pokemon. Sure, I can go to a spooky tower. Brandy gets out the car and
Candy,
storms
Candy,
off.
Make sure you film the whole thing. This is going to get such
baby,
a good video.
Oh, baby, I am so live streaming.
Okay. So, Brandy, you go into this absolutely terrifying spooky tower that's just by the side of the road. It's just
the
tower.
By the side of the road.
And Gary's words ring in your head as you approach this tower and open the oaken door with a horrendous creak. David, give us the creak on this spooky door.
Candy, there's an old woman behind this door making a weird noise. It's freaking me out. Hello? Are you okay? Do you need help, old woman?
And you see that this poor old woman has been possessed by a haunter who's got its weird haunter hand up her backside and is just puppeting her.
Haunter, haunter.
And it's moving its horrible ghostly hand towards you, Brandy. And Gary's words ring in your head. If you think you're such a hero, if you think you can do this, why don't you, Brandy? Because I'm focused on what matters, getting those badges. I'm not a hero. And these hands are crawling towards you, Brandy. And what did you do? What did you do in this moment?
God, I don't know.
There's an old fire at the base of the tower where the woman had been cooking David.
She'd been cooking poffins.
Poffins. I think by the fire is one of those, you know, those little fans, those little step fan things that if you sort of squeeze it
bellows,
together,
right?
It
bellows.
Like,
yeah.
Bellows, that's it. And Brandy quickly grabs that and says, I might not have any Pokemon, but I could do this, you smoke freak. And it's going to try and basically blow the haunter away, and then Gary from the car goes nace, and then basically by accident it sucks the haunter back into the bellows.
And with that, Brandy, whether you intended to or not, the haunter gets sucked into the bellows, and you defeat the haunter. The old woman comes back to her senses. David.
Sorry, it's force of habit. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for saving me. I've felt very odd for a very long time.
It's all right. It's exactly what Gary Smoke, the Pokemon champion, did for you. Remember that name, Gary Smoke. He's a hero, and he's going to be the Pokemon champion.
You look very different to the pictures.
He's just in the car.
Prettier, dare I say. But older.
80,
I would go about.
What?
Are we friends? Did I know you at school?
Haunter, go. Finish the job.
Old lady, what gift do you give to Brandy? What lovely, beautiful gift do you give to Brandy?
I give her some lovely poffins. Some lovely freshly baked poffins.
Okay, so Brandy returns to the car with this beautiful batch of freshly baked poffins. And Gary is weirdly quiet in the front seat.
I think I caught a haunter, Gary, but I don't know what to do with it.
Yes.
Do you want it?
Yeah, sure, whatever, yeah.
Gary, what's up with you? Why you got the ump?
You say you caught it, but you're not a true trainer. You can catch it in a ball. You don't know how to win badges. Candy, you can delete that social media footage. It's pretty cringe, pretty try-hard, do you know what I mean?
A bit sort of saccharine.
Bit saccharine, yeah, yeah.
Help out an old woman.
Look at me. Yeah. I think heroism is like about like achieving stuff and like looking cool. And I don't think Brandy looked cool in any of that footage. So, yeah, I think we move straight ahead, and we're gonna win a gym badge, and my path to championshipness continues.
Yeah.
Did you get that, Candy?
You know it.
You're totally right, Gary. It was stupid. You're the best. Yeah. All right, let's go. It's dumb anyway.
And don't you forget it. We return to present day, Brandy. And yes, from this, I don't know what the detail we forgot was, but guess what? You get a plus one. You get a plus one forward.
Great.
On this roll against the Gengar, because you know about the trick, the smoky trick with the bellows.
So I'm just, okay, here we go. Welcome to narrative land.
Population
it's
us.
It's a rare journey that we come here.
Snorleone, take a deep, deep breath. And Snorleone picks up on what Brandy said and is going to use the move Swallow. as Munchlax did? Because I'm
I love
sure.
It. I love it.
Was,
yeah,
weren't
yeah,
there
yeah,
people
yeah.
in Munchlax's stomach?
There
was
were.
That a thing?
There were. Yeah,
oh,
there
yeah,
were.
There was.
I think because he swallowed the Pokeballs, we're going to do the same thing. Yeah. Munchlax is going to open the mouth really wide and try and recall and
be
use
the bellows.
That
be the hashtag be the bellows.
Hashtag
yeah, yeah.
be the bellows.
Okay. Okay. Right. Roll. Roll, please, to defeat this awful Gengar.
Oh God! So is it a special or a physical? Physical, right? It's breath control.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
Okay, thank God.
Famously physical.
Intercostals, baby.
I got a 3 and a 4 for a 7, plus a 2 for physical, plus a 1 going forward.
For the plus forward.
The memory.
The memory.
The memory.
The narrative,
you.
Baby.
A okay. narrative.
Snorlioni is ace in this.
Snorlioni's gonna suck up that Gengar.
Okay. Gengar has not got much harm. It's only got 4 harm, mate.
No.
This is doable.
This is so doable. Oh, my
okay.
God.
Okay, it is a stage 4 because I've established that all
God
of Gary's
damn
are.
Damn it. This is crazy. Everyone else is fighting 1 stage 4.
You're
Stu.
Trying to become the Pokemon champion.
Yeah, David's just doing something minor like taking on a legendary. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Thunderbark.
Do you want this to matter, Tom, or do you want
I
it to be easy?
I do want it to matter. I want
okay.
it to matter.
Okay, so it's a stage 4. Okay. What's Snorlioni at? That was a stage 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you're at 3, minus 1, so you're at 2. I don't think this is super effective.
No.
So it's so basically, you're doing 2 damage. You need to roll 2 or above.
Come on! It's a 3. It's a
yes!
3. It's a 3.
Okay.
Go on, Munchlax!
Describe Snorlioni on his second KO, MVP Snorlioni.
The Gengar's trying to freak. You know, and he's going to put the hand up the bum like the old lady. It's Gengar's little move.
The old trick.
And Snorlioni's like completely unfazed. Well, thinking like, oh, this is weird. And then when Brandy gives him the instruction to take a deep breath, then it all clicks and he looks at his cigar and throws it to one side and just inhales. It's almost like a whirlwind. It's sucking in all of the bits of this Gengar. And Gengar's hand reaches out to Gary like, wait, no, Gary! And it goes into Munchlax's stomach, and then you just hear Munchlax burp.
Next.
And once again, the crowd goes absolutely ballistic. How does Dan Nancer announce the KO? David, you were Dan Nancer this episode.
Oh, everybody's been holding their breath, including Munchlax, and it has taken another KO on Gengar.
The crowd erupts into rapturous applause, and as you see on the giant screens, another one of Gary's Pokemon gets a large red X through it. Bam, bam.
Oh, that's good.
And you can see Brandy across the way as Gary drops the vape. He's gone quiet again. That same quiet you saw of him in the car all those years ago. That quiet where he's unsure. That quiet where he's on the back foot. He's lost the advantage and he doesn't quite know what to say. Brandy, what do you say?
I already beat that Gengar once, Gary, if you remember rightly. How does it feel, champ?
Tom, keep going. I feel like you're on a bit of a roll here. Brandy has a quiet Gary, a Gary who's not going to answer you back.
This is it. I thought this was all it was about. It was about winning championship matches, not about saving old women from smoky towers, not about texting your girlfriend back, not about not cheating on your girlfriend, not about being a decent human being. I thought this was your thing. I thought this was what it was all coming down to, just winning. That's what you do, right, Gary? Oh, wait, it looks like you don't do that. It looks like you lose, and you lose bad. Because guess what, Gary? This is what it's really about. It's really about putting yourself on the line, putting yourself out there, doing more than just winning fights. It's about winning hearts as well, and you don't know anything about that. Trust me, honey.
And Gary quietly whispers to his Pokeball, Espeon, let's restore the balance. And the championship match continues.
Well, dang, that was satisfying. Certainly to play, and I hope it was to listen to as well. Brandy doing really well in her fight with the Pokemon champion Gary Smoke, while Kenny and Theo still continue their battles.
Truly epic are these Elite Three. Love them. Love them all. Even creepy old Vaughn. Creepy Spider Vaughn. It's that point in the podcast where we say our thank yous. So first, I would like to thank Michael Sands for creating the game Monster of the Week, which we have adapted to Pocket Monster of the Week for our own nefarious purposes. I would also like to thank Braxton Burke and the Materia Collective for the albums Time and Space, Johto Legends and Kanto Symphonies, and also to Glitch X City for the various remixes used in this episode. I would also like to thank Junichi Masuda and Satoshi Tajiri for creating Pokemon. Pokemon. That's how I'm going to say it now. Pokemon. Because I think it's cool. But we are fan-made, not-for-profit, and are not in any way associated with Game Freak, the Pokemon Company, or the other one, Nintendo. That's it. That small company. And of course, I would like to thank our wonderful list of patrons. Thank you to Green Pikmin, Mew, Curtis Hovey, Joseph Tibbs, Freya, Lily Gilder, Rosy Skies Ahead, Christy, Mega Noodle, Zachary Turing, Elena Mieloff, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Mark Smith, Brad Demon Dowker, My Cabbages, Dr. Rani, Jerembi's Mum, Alex W., Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Beth Shivers, Heather L. Snell, Betsy Lewin Lee, Darius Jakowski, Polkadash 55, Ellie Lieberman, Jerembi, Carrie Morrison, Scott M., Mega Man PhD, Dr. Mega Man PhD, how rude of me, Kaiko Pin Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Josh Anderson, Cesar Trevino, Force Majeure, Crandon Creations, Eric Eichinger, Millamoy, Ginny Voss, and Alistair Collinson, a.k.a. The Game Master. Thank you so much to all of you for continuing on to support this brilliant podcast. Well, I think it's brilliant, and we hope you do too. Please do share, talk about it on Facebook, I was going to say, but maybe not. Shit. Talk about it wherever you want to talk about it, okay? Talk about it wherever you please. That was my phone. Talk about it wherever you please. Finally, I'd like to thank my friends, David, Ali, and Stu, for playing the game with me. And remember, go catch them all. And by all, I mean your dreams.
How did we get there?
I don't know. Tom, I would say as well, just maybe angle your mic slightly sideways.
You are
your plosives. Your plosives are like popping.
Popping. Popping yeah. Big time.
I like to pop.
Okay, now we can't hear you.
Jam.
Wait. Is this helping? Is this better?
That's less ideal. That's less ideal.
Okay, it's fine. I'll keep it. In a good way.
Just take it a bit further away from your mouth.
Yeah, sure. I'll keep the good that rule going.
You got the rule.
You immediately put it back.
I'll keep the good rule.
That's what we want.
Yeah, yeah, 6 feet away at all time. That's what we'll do.
That's right. Basically just walking around the mic. Walk around the mic.
Two chevrons at all time, mate. Two chevrons.